So did I tell you about the new addition to our household?
Yes, a cat.
Yeah, Michelle, my lovely wife Michelle,
drink,
drink, brought home, without discussing it with me prior, a
Welcome
one-eyed cat.
To Cinema Chop Shop.
Oh, I've seen a picture.
Watch,
yeah, so she
shop,
was. She just went to the store to buy cat food, and there was a kitten rescue thing going on, and this cat was already 8 weeks old and had one eye, and so was not needing rescue. And so Michelle brought the one-eyed cat home, and we named him Cy, short for Cyclops.
Cyclops.
Yeah. But this is not a Things You Should Discuss With Your Spouse podcast. This is Cinema Chop Shop. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 6. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Traveronica's Closet.
Okay. And I am joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Sean...
I was hoping you would do that.
A.K.A. Mario Puzo's The Last Sean. In addition, we don't have any guests, but we might have somebody drop in, possibly.
Hopefully.
Then, further description of the show, the tagline says, Watch, Chop, Retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remake, reboot, sequel culture. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
All right. So that will bring us into movie news. Movie news is where throughout the week, between recordings, we try to pay attention to some newsworthy things that are related to our subject matter. So movies, remakes, sequels, all that bullshit. So first, we've got to do an RIP. On January 8th, we lost Buck Henry at the age of 89. Now, people would maybe know him as the writer of the movie The Graduate.
Right.
Also, he co-created Get Smart.
Right.
And he was an early favorite on SNL. And so he passed away at the age of 89.
Yeah, that's pretty unfortunate, but good long ride for him.
All right. On a lighter note... there's a new Burger King ad that's taking a shot at clowns dancing on stairs in an apparent reference to Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
And McDonald's.
Oh, clowns. Okay, yeah. I gotcha. Next, we've got James Mangold to direct Timothée Chalamet as Bob Dylan in a Searchlight drama about the icon's move from folk to rock music. Which, if you're going to make a biopic about Dylan and you want to pick just a specific time in his life, that's a pretty iconic moment.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and I think Chalamet's really, really good.
Yeah, he's an amazing actor, and not to mention a little bit of face value.
Yeah.
All right, so next up, Steve McQueen's 1968 Bullitt car has sold at auction for $3.7 million, which is quite the pretty penny. What do you think about that? Time to break open the piggy bank.
He would ask me right as I was drinking beer. yeah, boy, if I had the funds, it's a gorgeous car.
Really is. Next, we've got ABC has announced that their next live TV musical event is going to be Young Frankenstein. Excuse me, Frankenstein.
Ugh.
And so
there's so many people turning over in their graves,
and you're not happy about that. Next, we've got James Cameron has unveiled Avatar 2 concept art, just as Mercedes-Benz shows off a Pandora-inspired car. I hear you don't want to open the glove box. so yeah, that's going to wrap us for movie news this week, right?
I think we're good.
All right, good deal. And, oh, there it is. I hear the phone ringing, so that must mean it's time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Yes. Hold on now. This secret society ain't for everybody, just the sexy people. Chevy Chase's co-star in Fletch Lives is Arlie Ermey, not Emery. The Neighborhood Watch group in Hot Fuzz was the Neighborhood Watch Alliance. Sean, you were close. Excellent choice for the Battle Royale, this ep. I pretty much quoted that entire clip word for word along with the accent. I added a little something to your commissary accounts as a thank you. Enjoy!
All right, thank you, Dana. A little bit goes a long way. And that will close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department, which brings us to the theme of our episode. In celebration of her upcoming 69th birthday.
All right.
On January 12th, we're talking the films of Kirstie Alley. So how do you feel about Kirstie Alley in general?
She's okay.
She's had her ups and downs.
Yeah, interesting story. She came to California not to pursue acting, but to pursue interior design and Scientology.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she went into it looking for Scientology, and then she appeared on The Match Game and some other game shows, perhaps, and she won big. And that got her noticed by some people, and then her acting career kind of started from there.
Interesting. You don't hear about that too often, game show springboard. All right, well, Kirstie Louise Alley is an American actress and spokesmodel. She first achieved recognition in 1982, playing Savik in the science fiction film Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Alley also played Rebecca Howe on the NBC sitcom Cheers. She received an Emmy Award and a Golden Globe in 1991 for that role, and has appeared in various other films throughout the years, mostly comedies.
Yeah.
I would say. A few outliers there, but mostly comedies. And I've always thought she had a certain mystique. Something about her eyes. Her eyes just seem kind of like smoky or something.
Yeah, and that's why she was so great in that Star Trek II role.
Mm-hmm.
She was, and they said that she was invited back for the third one, and they were only going to pay her what she got paid on the second one. So she said, no, thank you.
No, thanks. All right. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and get into our next segment, which is the Midnight Double Feature. And this is where we on the panel talk about two films that were pre-selected that would be a good pairing for a public viewing, a screening, if you will. And they're both going to be Kirstie Alley movies this week. So what did you pick for your double feature, Sean?
All right. So right before she joined the cast of Cheers, she had two films come out.
Okay.
Both of which she co-starred with Mark Harmon.
Hmm.
The first was a made-for-TV film called Prince of Bel-Air.
How fresh was it?
It was not fresh at all.
So do you think that they found that their acting styles were in harmony with each other?
Probably so. But yeah, Mark Harmon plays a 30-ish pool guy, pool technician.
Okay.
And Robert Vaughn is one of his employers. And he kind of sets him up on the path of taking care of his nephew in the movie, which is played by Patrick Laborto. I can't pronounce that
Laboratory.
Name. Laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And that plays a role in just a second as well. And in doing so, he crosses paths with one Kirstie Alley, and her character is an artist.
Okay.
And a bad one at that.
Gotcha.
In the movie, she's just fine. She has this idea of doing these three-dimensional cutouts of people that she's seen around California, and they're bad. This is like crap you would find at like a craft fair.
Okay.
And somehow everyone's like, ooh, look at that art.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a player, and he realizes he wants to settle down with her. Robert Vaughn said that, that's also Robert Vaughn's niece, I guess I should mention.
Okay, gotcha.
And so Robert Vaughn, being the bad guy in the film, he kind of runs interference, and Mark Harmon has to take a stand.
Gotcha.
So I'm following that up with Summer School from 1987.
This one I've seen.
Which also stars Mark Harmon, but I mentioned that other dude who was hard to pronounce, Patrick Laborto, because he is also
Lavatory.
He is also in this film as one of the students. So in this film, Mark Harmon plays a high school gym teacher who has to teach remedial English at summer school.
Mm-hmm.
He has a whole band of misfits in his classroom.
A real motley crew.
But he's being the livelihood of his job is based on all of those students passing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess the principal really has it in for him. The neighboring
and he's like a surfer, right?
Yeah, he's a surfer guy. Yeah. And a very young Courtney Thorne Smith is in it, looking so cute. And Kirstie Alley is the teacher next door. She kind of helps him prepare the students. And in doing so, they kind of develop a little romance.
Uh-huh.
And it's fun. It's got some nice homages to horror films. If you'll recall, they do some pranks.
So even though she's the teacher, he takes her to summer school.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. All right. Well, I went with a couple of comedies also. The first one is from 1990, and it was directed by Tom Ropolewski. Tom Ropolewski. He also directed Look Who's Talking Now and Loverboy, two Ooh. Other Kirstie Alley vehicles. Even though I liked this movie, and still kind of do, especially certain parts of it, it's got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Flip your picture. I want to see it.
Oh, yeah. It's called Madhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Madhouse from 1990. Mark, played by John Larroquette, and Jesse, Kirstie Alley, get blindsided by an unexpected visit from Mark's cousin, Fred, played by John Deal, and his pregnant wife, Bernice, played by Jessica Lundy. The family reunion is suddenly extended from 5 days to 6 months after an accident renders Bernice bedridden, and Mark and Jesse's life is slowly turned upside down by a seemingly never-ending stream of houseguests, including Jesse's neurotic sister, played by Allison LaPaca, and her obnoxious son, Bradley Gregg. I remember one of my favorite parts when I was a kid and saw this was when the obnoxious son is mowing the lawn and he mows the word fuck into the lawn.
Yes. I told you earlier in the week, I saw this at the movie theater in its original release for some reason.
Yeah. I saw it on home video and I was only 10 years old at the time, so that probably has some bearing into why
it feels so fondly. And what year was this?
1990.
Okay, so John Larroquette was coming off of his Night Court run,
yep.
And Kirstie Alley was right in the middle of her Cheers run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I'm pairing that with another comedy. This one also I really like. It's a family favorite of ours, but it's only got a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I wonder why.
And that's Sibling Rivalry, from 1990, directed by Carl Reiner. And encouraged by her sister, Marjorie Turner, played by Kirstie Alley, has a tryst with a handsome stranger named Charles, played by Sam Elliott. But it ends when he dies of a heart attack in a hotel. Marjorie bolts, but she mistakenly leaves her driver's license behind. Hotel visitor Nicholas Meany, played by your man Bill Pullman, finds the license, but also accidentally whacks Charles' corpse in the head. Thinking he killed Charles, Nicholas contacts Marjorie for her help, and together they try to steer clear of the blame. Now, that's just the surface conflict in this movie. We also find out that Sam Elliott's character is her estranged brother-in-law, her husband's brother.
Oh, my.
And her husband is played by Scott Bakula in his first feature film role.
Wow.
Also, we've got Carrie Fisher as the sister.
That's right. Okay.
Carrie Fisher is Scott Bakula's sister, and Jamie Gertz is Kirstie Alley's sister.
Ooh, good casting.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So hijinks ensue, and a comedy of errors and deception.
Recommends on any of
these? I'm recommending both of them, man. Oh, really? I know they've got shitty ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, but I like both of these, and I think they would be a awesome double feature for Kirstie Alley comedies.
I'll recommend Summer School. I will not recommend Prince of Bel-Air.
And it's absolutely no relation to the Will Smith TV show.
None whatsoever.
I wonder if there was any litigation.
I don't know. I think, you know, Mark Harmon might have had some like bad blood with Will Smith.
Yeah. That's why Will Smith's never been on NCIS.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, that will wrap us up on the Midnight Double Feature and bring us into our feature segment, which is the recast. And this is where we take a film from within the catalog of our subject, and this week it is Kirstie Alley. So we're going to take a Kirstie Alley movie, and we're going to hypothetically recast a few of the main roles with contemporary actors. So the first movie is from 1999, one of the greatest years in cinema, and it's directed by Michael Patrick Jan. Jan primarily worked as a television director. He and David Wayne created The State.
Oh, cool.
He also directed this film, and it's his only full-length feature to date. He's also the co-writer of the 2006 film Let's Go to Prison with Thomas Lennon and Ben Grant. And Jan went on to produce and direct the Comedy Central series Reno 911.
There you go.
But this movie is Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Every year, in the small town of Mount Rose, Minnesota, a special competition takes place.
I know what some of your big city no-bra-wearing, hairy-legged women libbers might say. They might say that a pageant is old-fashioned and demeaning to the girls. No, I think you boys are going to find something a little bit different here in Mount Rose.
Ouch!
but for two ambitious girls.
I believe this pageant teaches you what's really important in life.
I dream of getting out of Mount Rolls. I mean, guys get out of Mount Rolls all the time for hockey scholarships or prison.
And two jealous mothers.
My daughter is the most talented contestant that Mount Rolls has ever had.
It's not just about beauty.
Go Muskies! Woo!
I'd lay down 10 to 1 that it all comes down to Amber Atkins and Becky Lehman.
It's about poise.
If you could be any tree in the woods, what kind of tree would you be?
Green.
It's about tradition.
You get your ass up there and show me some teeth.
It's about winning and whatever it takes.
Are we on cops, Harold? Are we on
cops? Shut up, Hank. This here's business.
It's on cops.
Oh, my God! My tap costume's gone! Bring it on!
From New Line Cinema.
What kind of a moron paints stiff ladders right before a pageant?
Kirstie Alley, Ellen Barkin, Kirsten Dunst, Denise Richards.
Look at that winner. I think she's got a boob job.
Oh, come on. She's too young for a boob job.
They do that at birth now. What are you talking about?
Our pageant is not a peep show.
Oh, God, you rule, Leslie!
Drop dead gorgeous.
Suck it in, or so help me, I shove my foot so far.
And it's got a 46% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Criminal.
I think it's too low.
Criminal.
I think it should be a lot higher than that. But we've got the story of a small town beauty pageant. It's the annual beauty pageant in a small Minnesota town that turns ridiculously competitive and ultimately chaotic in this biting comedy. Amber Atkins, played by Kirsten Dunst, the daughter of a hard-drinking mom, Annette, played by Ellen Barkin, and Becky Lehman, who's Denise Richards, not Natasha Richardson, who is motivated by her former beauty queen mother, Gladys, played by Kirstie Alley, are among the top contenders in the event. As Amber, Becky, and other local girls prepare for the big day, bizarre incidents occur, leading up to an ending with a bang. And we should also mention that Annette, the mother Annette's best friend, is played by Allison Janney.
Loretta.
And her name is Loretta. What else do we need to say about this movie?
Oh, this movie's great. It's a great dark comedy.
Uh-huh.
It's fun in the same way Fargo is fun to
yes.
kind of poke fun at that super North Midwestern mm-hmm. accent.
Speaking of Fargo, Kirsten Dunst is on there, but mm-hmm. she's also married to her co-star in that movie, Jesse Plemons. Your wife and
Allie
Cinema
and,
Chop Shop All-Star Chelsea dressed up
Chelsea
as this a couple
it.
Years
they,
ago,
they dressed
right?
up as Annette and Loretta uh-huh. for Halloween. They wanted to be on the show tonight, but circumstances have kept them from being on the show
uh-huh.
in character. Just so much funny stuff. Plus, there's some other appearances. Amy Adams, very early in her career,
yep.
is in it, playing kind of a bimbo
mm-hmm.
Girl. And then,
Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy is in it, and she has some of the greatest lines in this film.
Now, we should also mention that the film is presented in a mockumentary
yes,
format.
Yes, of course.
And it's a pretty early example of that. Obviously, there were mockumentaries prior to this. Like this is Spinal Tap, for example.
Sure.
Way before The Office, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the roles we're recasting. First, we've got Amber Atkins, played by Kirsten Dunst, who was only 17 at the time. She was actually age-appropriate, though, for the,
yes,
for
one of the
role.
Few.
We've got Ellen Barkin as her mom, playing Annette Davis. And Ellen Barkin was 45.
Annette Atkins.
What did I say?
Davis.
Annette Davis. Oh, that's weird. I don't even know if I know an Annette Davis. Allison Janney as Loretta. Denise Richards as Becky Lehman, and Kirstie Alley as Gladys Lehman. Allison Janney was 40, Denise Richards was 28, playing a high schooler.
Wow.
And Kirstie Alley as Gladys Lehman
she was 48.
Was 48.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? My my neighbor's name is Gladys Davis.
Really?
Yeah, and so I just mixed the...
There you go.
...the things. All right, so who did you pick for Amber Atkins?
Okay, Amber Atkins. I went with someone who is relatively young in her career. She only has a few IMDb credits, and most of them are tied to a short, which was later turned into a TV series,
mm-hmm.
which was later turned into a film that I just watched this week. I'm talking about Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
And she played the lead role of Sarah. Her name is Mary Nepi.
Okay.
Mary Nepi.
Now, I think that she looks, speaking of The Office, I think she looks a lot like Pam from The Office. Like a very young Pam. And her friend looks a lot like Maya Rudolph.
I even referenced little Maya Rudolph in my review.
For sure. Sounds good. What else has she been in besides Snatchers?
Not a lot. She had a few shorts.
Okay.
One was called We're Not a Satanic Cult. Lucy's Tale. Microfront Customer Service. Those are all short films.
Okay.
There is one, I guess, film called Not Cool from 2014. So she's...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I predict bigger things for her.
I agree.
And you liked that movie also, right?
I liked it for you know, the practical effects. Uh-huh. I liked it for the campiness of it.
Yes.
It had a great Plan B joke
uh-huh.
in it. And, of course, the her friend, who reminds me of Maya Rudolph, uh-huh. I thought she was fantastic. Hilarious. Yep.
Yes. All right. My actress is 20 now. So she's a little bit older, but not 28. She is or was on Dancing with the Stars. She was in the Hunger Games movies. She's also in R.L. Stine's The Haunting Hour, and she plays Summer on Rick and Morty. It is Willow Shields. Willow Shields. Surprisingly not related to Brooke Shields. Willow Shields. I had a really hard time sticking to my theme with the younger cast members. I do have a theme for the adult women, though.
Nice. I have a theme for the adult women as well.
Okay. Next, speaking of adult women, we've got Ellen Barkin playing Annette Adams, who was 45 at the time. Ellen Barkin was 45 at the time. And who did you pick?
I went a little younger. I went with a 40-year-old actress.
Mm-hmm.
She just turned 40, actually.
Correction, Willow Shields does not play Summer on Rick and Morty. This is my next actress. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Gotcha.
I was going to... Anyway.
Stand down, Dana.
This actress was in... let me get into some deeper cuts.
Okay.
She was in Bajillion Dollar Properties. She was in NCTSD, SVU, or whatever.
The Comedy Central one.
The Comedy Central one with our buddy, our peer.
Mm-hmm. Paul Scheer.
Our peer, Paul Scheer. She was in Unfinished Business. She was in The Disaster Artist and Long Shot. It's June Diane Raphael.
Okay. Yeah, I like Long Shot.
And thus begins my theme.
Okay. Well, my actress, I guess I kind of already gave it away for the savvy Rick and Morty heads out there. I don't know, Rick. She is 36 now. She was in Beautiful Ohio. She was in Descent. She was in... she's in Rick and Morty as the voice of Summer. She was also in an episode of Cheers along with her father. Her name is Spencer Grammer.
There you go.
Spencer Grammer is Kelsey Grammer's daughter.
Yes, she is.
Yes. All right, and so there's a Cheers connection there.
Okay, I like that. That's cool.
Next up, we've got Loretta, played by Allison Janney. If you're a fan of Allison Janney, go back and listen to our Allison Janney episode titled, "And I Hope You Like Janney Too." So, Loretta, Allison Janney, 40 at the time, who you got?
All right, so I picked someone who was in Children's Hospital and Wet Hot American Summer, and she is currently in the Harley Quinn animated TV series. But you can see her in films such as It's Complicated, No Escape, No Strings Attached, and In a World, Lake Bell.
I like Lake Bell a lot. I like her. I'm trying to think. Has something to do with like audio recording? Because In a World, they were voiceover actors.
Yeah, but I've pretty much given you the connecting tissue. But
they all use microphones.
No, keep going.
My actress is 36 now, and she was in The Good Night. She was in Leaves of Grass, that movie with Edward Norton and Edward Norton. She's also in Sleepwalk with Me, and she's in an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with her dad. Her name is Lucy DeVito.
Oh, wow.
Lucy DeVito is going to be my Allison Janney. And, of course, Danny DeVito was married to Rhea Perlman, who was Carla on Cheers.
Very good. Very good.
All right, next we've got Denise Richards. This one for me is not on theme, but go for it.
Mine's not on theme either. These are strictly young people casting. However, this one is more age appropriate. She is 19 years old, and she kind of has that prim and proper poise, I think, that is necessary for this part. She got on a lot of people's radar with The Nice Guys. She was in a film called Every Day, and she was in Spider-Man Homecoming as Betty. She was the love interest of the
friend,
the bigger friend.
Yeah.
It's Angouri Rice. I've cast her before.
Yeah.
And
she's pretty.
Yeah. She's got that, that whole, Denise Richards thing going on, I think, on a younger scale.
My actress is 20 to play Becky Lehman. She was in Twilight, Breaking Dawn, Parts 1 and 2. She was in The Conjuring. She was in Interstellar. She was in The Nutcracker and The Four Realms. It's Mackenzie Foy.
I like Mackenzie Foy.
Foy is going to be my Becky Lehman. All right, we got one more. It's the lady of the hour. Gladys Lehman, played by Kirstie Alley, who was 48 at the time. Who is going to be your Gladys?
So I went with an actress who is 46 years old. And she was born in Illinois and moved to Cleveland, Ohio. So she kind of has that Midwestern flatness to her voice anyway. So she's got that going for her. But she was in Burning Love was the name of the show I was trying to think of. It was a fake Bachelor reality show that ran on Amazon.
Burning Love?
Yes. It's about a fireman who's looking for love.
Oh, okay. I thought it was about potheads.
No, it's funny. You should check it out if you've never seen it. She was in a show called Free Agents. She was in Afternoon Delight. She was in Bad Moms and Transparent. I went with Catherine Hahn.
Oh, Catherine Hahn is awesome. She's on a new show, too. A new TV show.
That would be critical acclaim. Well, she's going to be on the WandaVision show on Disney Plus.
This is about like an empty nester.
Mrs. Fletcher?
No.
I know this much is true.
No.
Well, she's busy.
It might be Mrs. Fletcher.
She's got all this going on. Anyway, do you want to guess at my theme?
Oh. Is it?
You gave it away at the beginning when you said that the writer of the show, or the director of the movie, rather, has a connection to the state.
Okay.
Which begat David Wayne and all of those guys.
Oh, Wet Hot American Summer.
Children's Hospital. All of that. It's the whole David Wayne, Paul Scheer connection.
Nice.
They have all been in those shows. They kind of run with that
Lake
crowd.
Lake Bell, too?
Yeah, well, Lake Bell was in Children's Hospital.
Okay. All right, well, my actress, I kind of did a little theme switch here. My actress is 56 now. She's in Back to School, not Summer School.
Gotcha.
She's in Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth. And she's also in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Her name is Terry Farrell. Terry Farrell. Not to be confused with Perry Farrell, the lead singer of
Jane's
Addiction and Porno for Pyros. All right, so what else do we need to say about Drop Dead Gorgeous?
If you've never seen this film, go see it. We've
do yourselves
talked about
a favor.
It before. This has gained cult status because it recently hit streaming on Hulu last year, I believe it was. So a lot of new people have been exposed to it, and it's great. And don't let that Rotten Tomatoes rating fool you. It's funny as hell.
I agree. It's a recommend from me as well. So I think with that, we're going to go ahead and head into intermission, but not before we say, let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves a bowling alley abortion.
Oh God, that's morbid.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis. And I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it and multiply.
A Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back, Chop Shoppers. And thank you for bearing with us during intermission. When we come back from intermission, what do we like to do, Sean?
Beer check-ins.
We do. And we've got a shout-out to Boston today, which, of course, was the setting, the locale for the sitcom Cheers. And we're trying to get the taste of weed and hooker spit out of our mouth, so we're going to have a Sam Adams. And I went to the store, and I wanted to get the Boston Lager, but they didn't have it in the six-pack. I did not need 12 Sam Adams Boston Lagers, so I went with the Cold Snap instead. And you've had this before, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, it is a white ale with spices, as the label describes. Let's give it a try. It's kind of sweet to me.
It's sweet. Yeah, I think there's like a gingerbread... orange mulling spices. Kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Not
it's supposed to be festive.
To borrow from Conan the Librarian, festive like a hobo's asshole.
All right, so we will thoroughly enjoy that, and while we do, let's talk about the 2020 movie marathon. This is where Sean and I and whoever else would like to participate. I think Chelsea's on board now.
I do believe so.
We watch as many movies as we can, new to us movies, movies that we've never seen before, as many as we can throughout the calendar year, the goal being 365. Some of us go above and beyond, though. It is, as of today, the 10th day of the year on this recording, and I'm on number 12, so I'm two ahead. I'm starting the year off right.
Good for you.
How many do you have, sir?
I've got 14, and I've got about 13 minutes left on a movie to hit 15.
14 and 7/8.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, what's your first check-in going to be?
We mentioned last week that Criterion was releasing those 70s sci-fi flicks. So watched a few of those. And one I want to talk about is kind of a tease for an upcoming David Cronenberg episode. This one is called Shivers. This is an early film in his career. And it plays out like a zombie tale, but is delightfully depicted as a parasite that spreads itself by hypersexual conduct. It is set on an island in Quebec near Montreal,
Canada.
And there's a Andrew,
and Chelsea,
and Julian, and it's a high-rise apartment building, and so they're kind of isolated. So it's a nice incubator for that sort of thing.
So are they cold or not?
No.
They're it's called Shivers, but then you said incubator, and so I'm really confused.
It's not cold. And it starts out with this 12-year-old girl that's obviously not 12. She's played by an adult actress because there's nudity involved. But she exhibits some really crazy signs, like she's really just thrashing about, and there's this doctor who is like trying to, you think he's trying to control it, but he's really like cutting her open. And turns out these two doctors who are at the apartments have engineered this parasite that goes around and like implants itself into people. And once it does, you become like crazy horny and like you'll get it on with anybody. Hmm. And that's how it spreads itself.
Cronenberg's a weird dude, man.
He's very weird. And it's cool. It's a neat movie.
Is it recommend?
If you like Cronenberg, yeah. Okay. If you're squeamish, no. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was neat.
I love the... I just keep talking about Rick and Morty. I love the Cronenberg episode of Rick and Morty.
One of my favorites.
All right. Well, my first check-in this week is going to be number 5, and it's called Bliss, even though that is not an emotion you will feel from watching this movie. It is basically a super indie and gory artist slash vampire slash addiction metaphor. Mm-hmm. It's about this struggling artist in Los Angeles. Well, she's not exactly struggling. She's got pieces in galleries. So they're just not selling. And she's got a deadline to finish a painting. And she is spending too much time going and getting fucked up. One night she goes out and gets fucked up with her friends and they have like a threesome, but she kind of like blacks out during it. Long story short, she's a vampire. Okay. And it gets really, really graphic when it's time for her to feed. And I can handle some graphic stuff. I just watched the new Dracula on Netflix, and that's pretty hardcore. But this was hard to watch. And I think it's also the production value wasn't very good. So not a recommend from me.
Yikes. I watched In Search of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 4-hour and 23-minute documentary.
Now, did you count this as like 3 movies?
No, I just counted it as one.
Damn.
This is a documentary about 1980s horror films, and it is presented chronologically for the most part.
Chronologically.
And it reminds me of the old VH1 show, I Love the 80s, because you have like a lot of just interviews with people talking about what they like about film, but they also involve actors, actresses, and directors as well. Joe Dante's all through this thing.
Hell yeah.
And it's extremely well done. And there are even some films throughout that I had never even heard of that now I've got to go and make sure I watch.
Right, right.
So it was a very good documentary. I really liked it. And I got a shout out from the director after I posted my review of it. So,
On Twitter. That's awesome, man.
Under my handle.
And what's his name? What's the director's name?
The director's name is, if you'll give me just one moment, his name is David Wiener.
David Wiener, and his film is Search for Darkness.
In Search of Darkness.
In Search of Darkness. All right. My next check-in is going to be number 6, and it is a sequel. It is starring Angelina Jolie. Son, daughter of John Voight. And it's Maleficent, Mistress of Evil from 2019. And my official review, wow. They really managed to rip off Lord of the Rings, Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars, and Game of Thrones all at the same time. It's very contrived. And you don't even have the benefit of it being based on source material. It's a completely fabricated second chapter to the Maleficent story. Not good.
Not good.
Visually, it was okay.
Yeah, I love her makeup as Maleficent. I love the costume.
Wait, she was wearing makeup?
Yeah, they kind of made her even more bony.
More of a praying mantis.
More praying mantis-y. Yes.
All right, what's your next one?
I'm going to check in Bombshell. This is the Jay Roach directed story about the Roger Ailes sexual misconduct.
The Fox News thing?
Fox News thing. It bombed at the box office.
It
did not do well at all.
They say that, what's her name, gives a strong performance.
I said, while Charlize Theron gives an amazing performance as Megyn Kelly, the rest of the film left me feeling like it was The Big Short's less intelligent cousin.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Sadly, this won't cure what ails you. Hey. But seriously, I think that Jay Roach directed the Austin Powers movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there was an echo of that in this movie because there are so many actors who are portraying real life people in makeup and prosthetics and whatnot. John Lithgow plays Roger Ailes,
And does Mike Myers try to rip off Roger Ailes' wig?
No.
That's not your mother. It's a man, baby.
No, but later in life, Ailes had gotten so fat.
Rotund.
That it reminded me of the fat bastard's makeup.
Oh, yeah.
From Austin Powers. And so it really...
it's an intern!
Exactly. It really took me out of the film. But, man, Charlize Theron is so... great. I mean,
she's an amazing actress.
You forget that that's even her, and right. you start to really think that that's Megyn Kelly.
Right.
While everyone else just kind of does an okay job doing their thing.
And also, you've got Nicole Kidman and Margot Robbie. Is that right?
Yeah. Kidman plays Gretchen Carlson, which I did learn a little bit about Gretchen Carlson that I didn't know, but I didn't really care for her in this movie. Also, I noticed that she has really strange earlobes.
Like, are they? One's connected and one's not.
No, they're just really long.
Huh. Maybe she used to have gauges.
Look at her next time.
Okay.
She's got long earlobes.
All right. So that's a good takeaway from that. My next one is going to be a recommend for sure. It's an outstanding film. 2019. There's Oscar buzz. The lead actress, I believe, won the Golden Globe. And I'm talking about Judy, the story of the later stages in Judy Garland's career. A tragically beautiful account of the last act of Judy Garland's career. She's aptly portrayed and uncannily portrayed by Renee Zellweger. Really good. Really good. I did want to say that movie Bombshell, not to be confused with the documentary Bombshell about Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Signal hopping?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So, and I recommend Judy.
Do you like Renee Zellweger in general?
I used to not be a huge fan, but I think this might be her resurgence.
See, I'm curious because I've heard a lot of people say the same thing. I don't care for her at all.
She's really good in this.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I'm not even really a huge Judy Garland fan. I didn't know that much about her life story, but I was immediately engrossed in this portrayal.
Cool. So that's a recommend from you.
That's a recommend. One out of three recommends today. Do you have another one?
No, that's it.
That's three. All right. Well, that will wrap us up on the 2020 movie marathon. And that brings us to the second part of our feature segment, which is the recast continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Where everyone knows your name.
Yes. And the movie that we're going to be talking about is from 1989. It was directed by Amy Heckering. And it's got a 57% on Rotten Tomatoes, possibly a little bit inflated there.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Look Who's Talking.
It's the most natural thing in the world.
No.
Yes.
No. What? How could this have happened?
I take it this wasn't a planned pregnancy.
It's a beautiful, magical experience.
St. Jerome's Hospital. Ah!
John Travolta. Oh,
come on, breathe deep. Try to help me, just try.
Kirstie Alley.
Give me some drugs. Oh, thank you a really lot.
Now that is a little more like it. Hey, here's Mr. Hand here. Wow.
And Bruce Willis as the voice of Mikey.
Help! Put me back in! Put me back in!
So you're the one that's been kicking.
The one that ate all that spicy food.
Now Mikey's mommy needs his help.
I'm gonna get you the best daddy there is.
All right, I'm on the case too.
But when you think like this little guy...
Boy, I gotta think about getting my own place.
There's a lot to distract you.
One of those little furry things over your eyes. No, let me grab one. Come here. There we go.
Discover with Mikey the wonders of life.
Fellas, listen, I got something cold and wet in my shorts down here. Guys, listen, fellas.
The unexpected delights of family.
Oh, yeah. She's gone.
And the gratifying search.
You know, that's breast milk.
For the perfect daddy.
Mikey does need a father. I just thought of someone perfect for you. You'll love him.
Was that clown? I want you to be my daddy. And I'll tell mommy about it.
You really think you're responsible enough to be a father?
Now, this is called driving.
This ain't so tough.
Mikey!
Well, I got this driving thing knocked.
Look who's talking.
What a sweetie.
You must be thinking the same thing I am.
Lunch. Yeah, right back at you, babe.
Look who's talking. starring, of course, Kirstie Alley and John Travolta, and the voice of Bruce Willis as the talking baby. Now, the baby isn't actually talking. We're just hearing the baby's inner monologue, right?
Right.
Because I think it would be really hard to train a baby to talk in the production time.
Now, there are some really good points made by How Did This Get Made, our peer podcast.
Uh-huh. Paul Peer.
They did the Look Who's Talking 2.
Look Who's Talking Now.
Or Now.
Oh, wait. Look Who's Talking 2 is the sequel. Look Who's Talking Now is the third one, where the pets talk.
Well, okay. So Look Who's Talking 2, the children, which we know think aloud, and we're given insight into the babies' minds, they're able to communicate with each other, even though they're not talking.
It's telepathy.
Is it?
Well, and the girl baby in the second one is voiced by Roseanne Barr.
I know. So anyway, just a little aside about the later iterations of this film.
So the quick premise, the romantic ups and downs of accountant Molly Jensen, played by Kirstie Alley, are viewed cynically by a most unusual bystander, her talking newborn. We hear his thoughts. Mikey, who's voiced by Bruce Willis. She becomes pregnant through an affair with a married man, Albert, played by George Segal? Siegel?
Siegel. Siegel? Siegel.
Jonathan Livingston Siegel. And then counts on the friendship of a taxi driver played by John Travolta. His name is James. Once she discovers Albert is a lying cad. Although Mikey likes James and James cares for both the baby and Molly, she isn't sure if she can settle down with a blue-collar boyfriend. Was very discriminatory, but
well, she was very disparaging towards him early in the film.
He's just a cab driver. But spoiler alert, she does settle down with him.
Yes, she does. It should also be noted that Olympia Dukakis is in this movie.
Oh, okay.
As well as the great Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda. So we've got James Ubriaco, played by John Travolta. He was 35 at the time. We've got the voice of Mikey by Bruce Willis. He was 34 at the time. And then we've got Molly Jensen, who was played by and voiced by Kirstie Alley, who was 38 at the time. And so who did you pick for your cabbie James?
All right, I went with an actor who has portrayed a part where he was stuck with a kid that he did not want. So this is probably familiar territory for him on the reverse. He had a very small role in Marriage Story.
Okay.
I guess I should back up and mention that he is...
actually a cab driver?
35 years old. Not a cab driver. He was in Fear Incorporated.
Ooh, James Ubriaco.
We've updated it. Yes.
Yes.
He was in Glitch and Downward Dog.
Oh, yeah.
But he was in the TV series Raising Hope. It's Lucas Neff.
Okay.
Lucas Neff.
Incidentally, Downward Dog is my favorite yoga position.
Thanks for keeping it clean.
And my actor is actually funny, as opposed to John Travolta, who just thinks he's funny. And he's
now,
been...
Come on, man. Travolta got a start in comedy.
And he's in projects such as The Knights of Badassdom.
Okay.
He's also a regular cast member on Community. And he's in the film Star Trek Beyond. It's Danny Pudi.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Pudi is going to be not your typical leading man, mind you, but a little bit more believable as a cab driver, not just because of his ethnicity, but just because of him. And, he's also in Star Trek. So
I miss Community.
That was so good.
What a good show.
Yeah. So good.
Drink.
And next up, we're going to do the baby. The baby's voice was voiced by Bruce Willis, who was, what is it?
34 is what I had.
34, right around the same time as Die Hard, right? This is 89?
Yeah.
Maybe fresh off of Die Hard?
Yeah, I bet you he had already finished Die Hard by the time this came out.
And so who is going to voice your baby Mikey?
Well, age is not relevant in this.
Nope.
And so I wanted somebody who kind of embodied some of that same smugness that that Bruce Willis had, but he's definitely a lot older. He's an iconic actor, mm-hmm. known for films such as Raging Bull, Goodfellas, The Irishman, and My Cousin Vinny. It's Joe Pesci.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I switched it at the end.
So they're really going to have to use that digital de-aging on him.
It's just his voice, man. I think Pesci would be great.
That would be pretty good. Not as good as mine, though, because okay. my actor is 49 now. He was in, The Good Night, which I mentioned earlier. He's also in Grindhouse. He's in most of the Mission Impossible movies and all of the reboot Star Trek movies. For some reason, the baby's inexplicably going to be British. His name is Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
Oops.
That's not Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg.
And it's going to be really funny.
I like that. That'd be cool.
All right. Next, we've got the lady of the hour, Molly Jensen. She's an accountant. She don't care what nobody say. She's going to have that baby. And Kirstie Alley was 38 at the time. Who did you pick for this?
This actress is going to be 34 this year, and she's a New Yorker, so
okay.
suited to the setting. And funny you should mention the smoldering eyes of Kirstie Alley, because this actress definitely has that going for her. Mm-hmm. And I've recast her before, but it's necessary again. She was in the Percy Jackson films. She was in Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Oh.
She was in Baywatch. And she's going to be in San Andreas 2.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're making a sequel to San Andreas.
I am too. I'm so glad. But there's the other film. I can't find it on the list.
It's good to see Dwayne Johnson actually getting work.
When We First Met.
When We First Met. Okay.
The romantic comedy. It's Alexandra Daddario.
Oh, yeah. From True Detective.
Yes.
She's great.
Yes, she is.
I can think of several reasons.
I can think of two.
Two big reasons that she is great. So my actress, I already accidentally showed you the picture, but did you recognize her?
Did not.
All right. So she's 37 now. She's in Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Okay.
She's also in that movie Climax, the Gaspar Noé dancing scary movie.
Okay.
You know who Gaspar Noé is, right?
Yes.
He did Enter the Void
yes.
and all that crazy shit.
Yes.
Love. And, no, that's what the name of one of his movies is Love.
I thought you were saying you love Enter the Void.
No. He always has to have a POV ejaculation scene. He's a weird dude.
Yes.
She's also in Star Trek Beyond. Her name is Sophia Boutella. Sophia Boutella is going to be my Molly Jensen.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see the face value and mm-hmm.
and the Star Trek connection.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So all of these people were in Star Trek.
Was Danny Pudi in Star Trek?
Yeah,
he was.
He's in Star Trek Beyond.
You're right, yes. He was.
All right, so.
Well, that's a Joey Poole bait right there.
Yeah, big time. But I had to, because that's her first movie role was in The Wrath of Khan. Excuse me, The Wrath of Shaun. And what else do we need to say about Look Who's Talking?
Nothing.
Not a recommend.
It's not, well, for the time.
For the time, it was gimmicky.
Yeah, it was a good gimmick flick. There's so many other things you could watch besides this.
Mm-hmm. Watch Blowout with John Travolta instead. All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up that segment, which brings us to our bonus segment tonight. And it's going to be a battle royale between Ellen Barkin, Alan Arkin, and Grand Moff Tarkin.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, you need to go first.
Ellen Barkin's so beautiful.
She is.
I adore her. Alan Arkin, of course, he's funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. But Grand Moff Tarkin. Oh. Who's the actor that played Grand Moff Tarkin?
Can't remember.
I'm drawing a blank on his name, mm-hmm. man. A lot of British horror films.
Mm-hmm.
Scary, scary dude. I'm going to go with Grand Moff Tarkin.
Okay.
Because you can fire when ready.
True. So I am going to disagree with you there. I think that most of his scariness is just in the like Nazi-esque quality of the uniform. But when you really come down to it, he's just a bureaucrat.
Oh.
And so Alan Arkin, he was and is a great actor. Very funny, like you said. But laughs don't win battle royales. That's why I think that Ellen Barkin is going to sweep the legs.
Okay.
And she's going to win this thing.
Okay, I like it.
¿Quién es más macho? All right, so with that, we are going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. Thank you to my co-host and co-producer, the engineer, Brew Boss Wrath of Sean. And anything you want to plug this week?
I plugged it last week. I'll plug it again. We've got the Medieval Beer Dinner coming up.
I believe that's on the 16th.
16th, yeah. At Seminar Brewing, seminarbrewing.com. And the Sushi Night on
the 30th.
30th.
Mm-hmm. All right. And do you know what next week's episode is?
Yes, we're doing the films of one Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. So I will have a trivia question for you now. And this will be a sneak preview trivia question for this coming week's trivia on Wednesday. So if you listen to this, you'll have an edge, an advantage over your opponents. Dolly Parton has been married to Carl Dean, a former asphalt paver, since 1966. The two have no children of their own, but Dolly is the godmother of this fellow singer. Who is she the godmother of?
The singer's name or the child's name?
No, she's the godmother of the child who is also a singer.
Oh, okay.
And no longer a child.
Well, I would imagine so.
She's going to be at Bonnery this year.
Is she? Miley Cyrus.
Yes, Miley Cyrus is the godchild of Dolly Parton.
Well, you know what? Good for her.
Yeah. I mean, somebody had to look out for that girl.
Good for Miley, man. That's, you know, she doesn't have a lot going for her. And so this is good. This is good. She's got that going for her.
Yeah. And if all else fails, she can always go crash in Pigeon Forge. Dollywood. So we want to plug the podcast itself. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever cinema? Any whatever podcatcher app it is that you listen to us on. You can just Google Cinema Chop Shop. It'll show up a bunch of times there. How are we doing on Stitcher? Are we trying to
get on there? Find us on Stitcher. I don't know what's up with that, but we're on everything else.
And we're also hosted natively on Podbean. We're cinemachopshop.podbean.com. Our Twitter is at Cinema Chop Shop. That's where I do my 2020 movie marathon check-ins, as well as posts about new episodes. And also our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail. Our Facebook is facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And the beer that we checked in today, I guess I'll check it in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. It's a social network for beer. Finally, farewell to you, the listeners, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for doing what you do and keep on doing it. Please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit.